Welcome to the forecast. To my right, we have AP 18. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everyone.
And to my left, GW, how you doing?
I'm doing swell.
I forgot what I called you on the forecast. Thanks. It's been a while.
Sorry.
I've been on vacay, and you guys have been hanging out here waiting for me to return, and I am back. This is the Wednesday Comics Forecast. Totally, the book's coming out for July 25th, 2018. That is the last Wednesday in July. Do you realize next month we have five Wednesdays? So, you know, get ready.
Six Wednesdays?
Yeah, whoa, six. That's close to six, Al.
let us tell you what is going on. And first, with Image Comics, the series finale. This is Descendant number 32, Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen. Now, I can tell you all about this series, but I'm going to hand it over to Alex. Alex, how's the series going?
You know, this book has been pretty good. It hasn't stood from the first issue. First issue, honestly, was probably my favorite issue I ever read from this series. It was so good. It was a good world builder. I'm hoping that issue 32 kind of wraps it up nicely. I know that there's going to be a sequel to this called Ascender. I know you didn't see that coming. I'm hoping that issue 32 wraps this up nicely and leaves me feeling satisfied. Jeff Lemire has always been such a good writer, and then when I think about it, it's like, Descender's not one of those books that I'm just like, yeah, this is the best thing he's ever written. So, we'll have to see what this week brings for us, but we'll be talking about it on the show, so you'll get to hear our response, even Marvin's.
Can you believe that we've been reading this book for almost 5 years?
Really?
That's crazy.
No way.
Yeah, there was a couple breaks in there.
Has it been five years? I don't... Is that really?
Maybe not five. Maybe
four. Maybe 3.5 to 4.
Yeah, 3.5 to 4. You're right.
Now, I know all about this series. You're right. We'll talk about this upcoming show. I know all about Tim 12 and everything. I'll let you know about Descender, too. Spiritual sequel to Descender, so that's coming out. I do know it's Tim 21. I was just going to catch you off guard, see if you were paying attention. And I know what's going on. Gasolina number 10. This is Sean Makowicz and Nico Walter with Matt Lopez. This is... Amelia and Randy have moved to a new town directly on the front lines of war with Los Guerrilleros. How do you say they? Caritos. But what chance do everyday people have against monster-worshipping drug lords? Garrett, this was a surprise that we didn't know you were getting this book. And here comes Garrett saying he's getting Gasolina. How is it?
There has been a Gasolina-shaped hole in my comic heart, and it's going to be filled today because I've been looking forward to this book. It's one of my favorites, and like I feel like it hasn't come out in a while, so I'm very excited to read issue 10 because issue 9 was crazy. Like, this is one of my favorite books right now.
Hit Girl number 6. I'm mentioning this here. We've never brought it up before in the show, but we have Jeff Lemire jumping on this book with Eduardo Risso.
He started on issue 5.
Oh, did he? It says right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, whatever. Well, we didn't mention it on the show, so Jeff Lemire on this arc, and I believe the next one's Kevin Smith. Is that correct? Garrett?
What? What was that?
The next arc is Kevin Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Smith, and then I think that's the end. I think there's only going to be 12 issues, is what I saw.
New World number 1 of 5. This is Alice Cott, Tom Moeller. Trad and Moore also on art. The United States of America after the Second Civil War. Two lovers meet. One straight-edge vegan hacker, anarchist boy with a penchant for messing up with the state. The other, a chaotic and this is very confusing here. Anyways, I'm just going to ask. So this is Alice Cott, another series. Did he ever finish his other series? I believe he had two, right? Generation Gone, which you love.
And Days of Hate.
Days of Hate. Did those two finish already?
Days of Hate is
not. I think it's only 6 or 7 issues in, and Generation Gone has been out for 2 or 3 months now.
But they're doing Generation Gone in volumes, though.
Yeah, and say it's on a hiatus that we knew was coming, so that's not a big deal.
Realm number 8. This is Seth Peck and Nick Filario with Nolan in the crunches of the Spider King. Molly leads the rest of the survivors on a desperate rescue mission. Alex, you're still with the Realm. That's a great cover, by the way. How's the Realm going?
You know, it's actually really good. Like I say, every time we talk about this book, it's like The Last of Us for me. They're kind of doing this smuggling group, and they've actually gotten split up after their big duel at this little, is it Gondor type of thing, where they're at a castle almost, or they're at a base, and they get attacked. I really like this book, and that last issue was super great. I'm kind of sad that Garrett dropped off, because this is a good mix of post-apocalyptic with fantasy world. So I'm enjoying it.
Royal City number 13, Jeff Lemire with Jeff Lemire. We all float on part 3 in the penultimate chapter of Jeff Lemire's critically acclaimed series, The Pike Family. Finally comes to terms with the death of Tommy, but will it be too late to save them? 14 issues total. This is the penultimate issue. Garrett, we're coming to the end of Royal City. How do you feel about it?
You know, I think if you remember, it was about 4 or 5 months ago on the show, we reviewed Royal City number 9 or 10. It was the end of the flashback arc, and I was kind of disappointed because I was like, not necessarily needing to see Tommy die, but I was just like, why is this so important to the story? Come to find out, which is very satisfying for me, that Jeff Lemire is kind of doing like the current storyline where they're all older and then flashing back to Tommy's last couple of days of life. And I think that's really great storytelling, because it shocked me because I didn't see it coming. I was like, I bet we're never going to go back to the past ever again. And the fact that we are, and getting more story points, like this series has turned into one of my favorites as well. And gosh, I can't believe there's only 2 issues left. It's nuts.
Saga number 54, Brian K. Vaughan, Fiona Staples. End of a story arc, the explosive season finale to Saga's most shocking storyline yet. Alex, this thing has been hard to read, and I mean that in a way that these characters are going through something that it really is like when you get to, let's call it the Red Wedding of Saga, that's happening right now. And so, like, what do you feel? We're going to the end of this arc, 54. What do you expect? To cry if this issue's over?
Yes. I think that's my biggest concern, is that this book really is starting to hit back into really great storytelling, and there's no rules for who's going to die. And there's been some horrible things that have happened in the last 2 issues. This may be one of the best looking covers I've seen. Simple red background with a black feather. Super pumped for that. But I know that at the end of this book, I will probably be texting you, Marvin Cohen, what the hell did I just read? Or can you believe this just happened?
IDW Publishing, TMNT Ongoing, number 84, Tom Waltz, Kevin Eastman, David Watcher on the art, Kingdom of Rats, part 4. The TMNT come face to face with possibly their most powerful adversary yet, the Rat King. Will they be able to defeat him before he makes all of New York City his twisted domain? Alex, TMNT Ongoing, you're facing the Rat King. We've got Leo on the cover there. How's this book going? That guy actually kind of looks like Red Goblin-ish.
TMNT has found its stride after they killed the Shredder, and then they went to this weird, ridiculous kind of junk where Splinter's now taking over the Foot Clan. We're back into this amazing storytelling. They're going up against this pantheon of gods, and the Rat King, along with some of his other siblings, all have a different role to play in life. Well, Rat King's kind of a dick. He likes chaos. And we're going to see where that takes them. Are they going to beat Rat King? I don't know. Rat King can take over Master Splinter if he wanted to. So we'll have to find out if the turtles or the boys have to go up against their master and father.
DC Comics, Action Comics number 1001, Brian Michael Bendis, Patrick Gleason. Acclaimed writer Brian Michael Bendis' new chapter for The Man of Steel and the World of Tomorrow begins here. The devastating repercussions from the Man of Steel miniseries still reverberates as Metropolis enters a new age. The Daily Planet teeters on the brink of disaster. A new criminal element has made its way onto the streets of Superman's hometown. The longest-running superhero comic of all time explodes off the page with the art from fan favorite Patrick Gleason. Garrett, number Superman number 1 came out last week. Did you have a chance to pick that up? How's Brian Michael Bendis going on the old soups?
Well, we've talked about it on the show. Man of Steel was kind of a flop, I feel. Now, once you've experienced the flop and that you're reveling in it, Superman issue 1 wasn't that bad. It's more so like, you know, I know that Bendis is trying to do all these things, and so it's kind of, I'm enjoying it for what it is. Like, what is he trying to throw at you now? So I think the thing with Action Comics 1001, very pumped that Patrick Gleason's doing the art, because I do love his art. And, like, you know, if you can't have Tomasi and Gleason, at least you get half the crew. And I'm interested to see, you know, they did leave some mysteries in that last issue of Man of Steel that I am pretty curious about. But I still don't think it's the greatest thing I've ever read. So, I mean, I think he still has a lot of work to do before he hits a stride in this book.
I love that cover, by the way.
The Manipul one? Or the Gleason one?
Oh, sorry. The Gleason one.
Yeah, it is. I think I'm going to get a Gleason and Manipul.
It's so symmetrical. I was like, man, that looks good. I like the Superman. I want to get the book, but I won't get the book.
Right.
Gary.
Yeah, it does look good.
I know you're a fan of David Mack from Alias. Does that cover not look good for you?
It does, but I got the one for Superman number one. And I'm like trying to tell myself, Garrett, you don't need three covers of one comic, but it's getting pretty close to being that discussion for myself.
Batman Beyond number 22, Dan Jurgens, Will Conrad. An all-new Scarecrow strikes. Garrett, the Batman Beyond here is fighting the Scarecrow. Is this the first issue in this arc, or has this been ongoing with Scarecrow here?
This is the third issue in this arc. It's really good. Again, if you love the animated series, you'll love this. And this is really, it's hitting new territory because, yes, it's about Batman being a target. And it's basically Man-Bat being in the Batman Beyond universe. That's what's happening recently. And in the background, Terry's brother Matt is working on becoming Robin Beyond. So very exciting, new ground that's never been broken before.
DC Beach Blanket Bad Guy Special Number 1. This is Paul Dini, Lee Bimagero, Gabriel Hardman, Karina Bainchild, Tim Seeley, Rod Fandana, Carlos Diana, Gabriel Hardman, and David Williams and Otto Schmidt on this book here.
Ooh.
10 swinging supervillain stories, DC's Beach Blanket Bad Guy Summer Special. It's summertime in DCU and the bad guys are taking over. Beat the heat with 10 all-new stories by comic talent starring DC's most spectacular supervillains in this issue. Find out what Mr. Freeze does on the hottest day of the Gotham City summer. Learn what makes Grodd such a bad gorilla. And then while in a small beach town, Deathstroke gets hired for murder by the last person he expects. And the Joker and Bizarro team up for a truly weird summer bromance. This is one of their quarterly kind of holiday specials, you would say, but this one's more of a seasonal. You know, they have winter specials, fall special. This is a summer special. So if you're interested in that, you like those kind of issues, some people do. Here you go. Here's the next one here with Otto Schmidt, Gabriel Hardman, Paul Dini. Those are some good names there. So Detective Comics 985. This is Brian Hill and Felipe Barrenos. Eddie Burroughs on that cover. Batman called Black and the Lightning to Gotham City for help with a specific case. But what is Batman hiding from Jefferson Pierce? It looks like he's in touch with somebody from their mutual past, and he doesn't want Black Lightning to know about it. And that operative might be in over their head. Alex, you've been reading Brian Hill's Detective Comics. How's it been so far?
I love this. I actually feel like this is more Detective Comics than what the Tinian run was for me. There's actually things that I want to know, and that it's not all... There's still a team aspect to it, which is fine, which is actually pretty good because it's nice to see that it's not all on Bruce. But I really think Brian Hill's nailing it. He's only three issues in. I know he will be going away here shortly, but I'm loving what we're getting from him.
He'd be going away shortly and somebody else taking over. By the way, listen to the main show. We're talking about that on that main show. Doomsday Clock number 6 to 12. This is Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. The critically acclaimed superstar team of writer Jeff Johns and artist Gary Frank continue this groundbreaking event as the mime and marionette takes center stage in Doomsday Clock number 6. Garrett, this will be halfway done with Doomsday Clock. How do you feel about it overall, and are you looking forward to this issue?
I've loved the first 5 issues. Yes, it's been delayed, but again, when you have Jeff Johns, and you have Gary Frank, I mean, one of the best writers, one of the best artists in the comics industry, it's definitely worth the wait. I think that each issue so far has been so powerful that it's really hard for me to forget what's already happened. So I'm very excited going into this issue, especially from the cliffhanger of the last one. Things are only going to get more nuts from here. So I'm so excited.
The Flash number 51, Joshua Williamson, Scott Collins. As the dust settles in the wake of Flash War, the Flash and his family of speedsters try to pick up the pieces of what's left, but bad blood can run deep. This is one race the Flash family can win. Alex, you caught up with the series, The Flash War?
For everybody's knowledge, I'm caught up on everything now.
Oh, and look, this cover's actually pretty great cover. How was The Flash War? Are you looking forward to the epilogue of this?
You know, the Flash War was okay. It wasn't actually as epic as I thought, as I was hoping it would be.
Don't tell me about issue 50. I haven't read it yet. It's next on my stack.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just saying it wasn't as epic for me as I...
Alex, no spoilers.
51 could be a good book. It might have the Flash in it. There, no spoilers. It may have the Flash. I'm excited for it. I think when you get past those milestone issues is when you get into, hopefully, another good story. So I'm hoping that we take this epilogue and build into something to get me more excited. Flash right now is kind of teetering for me on whether or not I'm excited for it.
Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, number 49, Robert Vendetti, Rafael Sandoval, Jordi Tragona, allied with evil, with all help failing, the desperate Green Lantern Corps must align itself with the monstrous Hector Hammond against the unstoppable might of the Darkstars. It's a suicide mission straight to the homeworld of the Controllers, the puppet masters pulling the Darkstar strings. Who will survive? Get your rings charged to 100% for the penultimate chapter of Dark Stars Rising, which, by the way, penultimate issue of this series, I believe, right? It seems weird that they're ending on this arc. They announced another series. Once again, listen to our show this week, where we'll talk about that. But, Garrett, how's Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps been? How do you feel about this being the penultimate issue?
You know, I just read issue 48, which was really amazing. So I'm very excited for issue 49, and I think that Vendetti can definitely wrap up this storyline in the next two issues. I mean, the team that is going up against the Darkstars is probably the craziest assortment of people you would ever imagine putting on a team. But the fact that they are working together, I don't want to do spoilers, but like, it's a pretty badass team. So very excited going into this penultimate issue. And I know whatever the cliffhanger of this issue is going to be is definitely going to steamroll right into issue 50.
Marvin, are you caught up on it?
If issue 50, not the last arc. So I just wait. I don't know.
I know. I was just going to tell you that this actually is, it feels strong again, like it had been when it began.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, I really enjoyed this. I thought this Hal Jordan last six issues have been really good.
I mean, that's the reason why I kind of dropped off, is because I felt like it was dragging a little bit. And so I wanted to get ahead, let a couple issues come on and see if it returned to that. So it's good to hear that. And I did confirm, I just looked it up. Issue 50 is the last one of the series. So hopefully, and it's an exercise issue. So hopefully it, wraps it up nice and we get a nice little Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps. Because I really did enjoy it. I mean, there were some things that were up and down, but mostly ups. Justice League Dark, number one. This is James Tynion IV, Alvaro Eduardo Martinez Bueno, and Raul Fernandez from the pages of Justice League No Justice. Earth's magic once belonged to them. Now they want the magic back. But who are they? Who exactly are they? It's up to the new Justice League Dark to find out and stop this nightmarish new threat at all costs. After the events of No Justice, team leader Wonder Woman guides the misfit magic mix of Zatanna, Swamp Thing, Man-Bat, and Detective Chimp against enemies too fantastic even for the Justice League. Plus, what awful things are coming through the Tree of Wonder. Dark days ahead. What do you think, Alex? Justice League Dark, we just got done with our book club about Swamp Thing. He's in this book. Detective Chimp was a big person in metal. We got Man-Bat, your favorite. From Batman, Wonder Woman, all of our favorites, and Zatanna Zatara, which we all enjoy also, and James Tynion IV, which just came from another great team book, Detective Comics. Are you looking forward to this?
I am really looking forward to this. I think a part of it is that, like you said, I'm still on that high from versusthewampthing.com being with us and talking some Swamp Thing, that now I'm like, holy crap, I gotta eat me some Swamp. I'm actually missing out on Wonder Woman right now, so I'm looking forward to that. I do love Man-Bat. There's a lot of characters that I'm excited for, and there's that hint of supernatural that I always want in a book. So I'm, by all means, bring it. I'm ready for it.
You forgot to talk about the A-list character, Detective Chimp.
You know, the weird thing, I don't know a lot about Detective Chimp other than what I've read in Metal.
Oh, you'll learn. And I want to point out, thanks to the King of the Green, every time I see Swamp Thing with dreadlocks, all I think of Lenny Kravitz. So
go back and listen to our episode of Saga of the Swamp Thing after you read that comic by Alan Moore, where you talk about Swamp Thing for, you know, close to 2 hours, or even over 2 hours, I believe. So I am really looking forward to this series also. I was a big fan of the other series that came out, and I'm usually a fan of these characters. Now, usually I'm a fan of these characters, like, in the background. And I think with that Swamp Thing, reading the Saga of the Swamp Thing and talking to John about Swamp Thing, and, you know, he's been showing up more and more in these books, I am looking forward to getting him on a more regular basis. And Wonder Woman, I'm always glad to see Wonder Woman in a comic. So
I think my only curious question is, how is Man-Bat going to behave?
Hey,
is he actually going to be a semi-good guy, or is he kind of like the muscle?
He might be like Clayface in Detective Comics. We'll see.
Okay, because that's kind of where I'm going. Is he going to be a bad guy who's trying to be good? But generally, Man-Bat's not all there. So I don't know. I guess I'll just have to read it to find out.
Terrifics number 6, Jeff Lemire and Joe Bennett. No one escapes Element World. Garrett, what do you think? Terrifics, 6 issues in. We'd reviewed number 5 on the show, and we talked about it. I really enjoy this book. What do you think going into number 6?
Yeah, I think it's one of the better New Age of Heroes from that line. Like, I think this and Sideways is probably one of the best books from that line coming out. It is a great way to get your fix for, like, the Fantastic Four-type character team. But, you know, I really am loving how Jeff Lemire is writing Plastic Man in this book. Like, I think he's killing with that. And the rest of the team just feeds off of the comedy from Plastic Man. So I think it's a great book.
Wonder Woman number 51, speaking of Wonder Woman, Steve Orlando, Laura Bragada. I want to bring this up because it's Steve Orlando taking over the book for a little bit here in the interim. This then is Man's World ready for Wonder Woman to bring Amazonian justice to today's society. Guest writer Steve Orlando dwells into that theme and Transformation Island, which sees Diana visiting the small-time crook known as Mayfly in jail over the course of several years. But how do these visits impact Diana and Mayfly? I want to bring it up. Steve Orlando on the book, and soon somebody else taking over the book, which, listen to our show this week. We'll talk about it. So I'm glad that, you know, somebody else taking over this book. And if you've been waiting to jump on Wonder Woman, this might be a good place to start. Steve Orlando's a good writer. So Marvel Comics, here we go. Amazing Spider-Man numero dos. This is Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley. Alien invasion hits New York City, and the only one who can stop it is Spider-Man. But that's far from all that you'll find here. Revelation from the past puts Peter Parker's job, relationship, and whole life in jeopardy. And even if that's not enough, you'll see a new roommate, new love interest, and a new villain. Spider-Man goes back to basics, courtesy of Nick Spencer and the Marvel debut of Ryan Otley. Alex, issue 1 came out a couple weeks ago here. Now we're rolling into issue 2. What do you think about this book?
There's parts of issue 1 that I was really excited about and things that I really enjoyed. I'm really hoping that issue 2 seals the deal for me. I felt that issue 1 was kind of wordy, and which I understand. You got to set the tone for the book. But I don't know. I want to like this book so badly, so I'll continue to give it a chance. But I'm already weary. Is this going to be the right Spider-Man for me?
Well, I think in Nick Spencer's defense, though, he had to separate himself from 10 years of storytelling by Dan Slott.
And I think that's maybe part of it, is that I'm still burned from Dan Slott, that even though I see it's Nick Spencer writing, and then I see all the words, it's like, oh, come on. But you're right. He is trying to fix stuff from 10 years of Dan Slott writing that he's got to readjust it. So I'm willing to give him a couple issues, some good, 10 issues. I'll find if I like it.
I just want to bring up, none of us read this book, but I'm sure some, if you're into the past movie that came out, Infinity War, there's Infinity Wars. That's plural right there. That's more than one. Prime number 1, Jerry Dugan and Mike Dodato. Jerry Dugan's a good writer, so I would expect this to be good. But so if you're interested in that, go ahead and check that out. Doesn't look bad. You know what? Marvel 2-in-1 number 8, Chip Zdarsky, Paco Mendina, Next of Kin continues, a new life in a new town on a strange world. Everything has changed for the Broken People, once known as Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm. But can they repair things before one of their oldest villains puts a nail in the coffin of the Fantastic Four? Garrett, what do you think? Marvel 2 and 1 were leading up to the return of the FF themselves, but we got these two here in the meantime. How's the book from Chip Zdarsky been going?
I think it was issue 6 that we weren't all very fond of, if I'm correct. But I think what saved this entire series was that annual with Dr. Doom and the Council of Reeds. Like, it was so good that when you went into issue 7, it played out that led into the issue 7. And I think the book is backed on point for being incredible. You know, it could lose that in this issue, but I don't think so. I think that we're going to keep going ahead until that Fantastic Four gets back.
I feel like 6, someone else's foot got in the door and interrupted what he was telling us. I agree. That annual, spectacular. 7 was awesome, and I'm super pumped for 8.
That annual plays with themes that Jonathan Hickman touched on in his Fantastic Four run, so if you enjoyed it, go ahead and check that out, too. It's a good run. Moon Knight 197, Mike Bemis and Jason Burrows. A meal for Malevident. How do you say that? Malevident? Madman. A group of psychotic killers gathers for a feast, but there's more on the menu than delectable dishes. Who's up? Who is the mysterious figure who has gathered these villains, and to what end? Will Moon Knight make it in time to dish out their just desserts, or will he become the main course? Alex, this arc of Moon Knight, it's been a little different. Looks like actually this might be, it's going back to Jason on art instead of the art that we've had at the couple past issues. What do you think, Moon Knight?
I really enjoy Moon Knight. It's one of those, it's a weird book, so it's not for everybody, but I really enjoy it. It's kind of that ridiculousness that I look forward to in some books, not all books. You know me, it's got to make sense. But I really enjoyed this. I think Max Bemis does a really good job, and I'm excited to read this.
I did tell these guys that I was dropping this book, but having seen just now that Jason Burrows is doing the art, I am going to pick up this issue. So,
oh, he comes back to the moon. Howl at it. Mr. and Mrs. X number 1. This is Kelly Thompson and Oscar Bazulda. Terry Dodson on that cover. Love and Marriage Part 1, straight from the pages of X-Men Gold to the surprise rare bone. The Marvel Universe's hottest couple has finally tied the knot in their extraordinary lives. How did you get that? They face nearly every challenge imaginable, but how will they fare against former flames making trouble? An entire galaxy in jeopardy. You want it? We got it. As Kelly Thompson and Oscar Balzuda, excuse me, I forgot to say your name, brought up the dazzling tale of modern marriage, X-Men style. So we had the Kelly Thompson, Rogan, and Gambit mini. X-Men Gold, they've been together, and so now they're married. What do you think, Alex? Are you, Garrett, Mr. Mixes X, we said Kelly Thompson has been on fire. She just got announced to be put on another book, but once again, listen to her on Sunday, we'll talk about that then. Is this enough for you to check out? Do you enjoy the Rogan Gambit enough to check this out?
I think I'm going to pass on this one. Didn't I see this as a mini, or is it ongoing?
I think it's a mini.
No, I don't think the first one, I mean, I did enjoy for what it was, but I don't think it was, you know, something that I definitely have to get. So I think I'm going to skip out on this one.
I will not be blind buying this for Kelly Thompson. I like her, but not enough to get a book that I have literally no interest in.
Old Man Logan number 44, Ed Brisson and Juan Ferreira. Logan versus Bullseye versus Shadow Tracer. Bullseye is leaving a trail of bodies longer than the Hudson River. Can Logan stop him before more people lose their lives? And worst of all, Logan might be forced to save the life of one biggest baddies. Alex, how's that cover look like to you? It looks like there's a lot of things in his back. I believe that's how he leaves the house so he doesn't forget something, but you let me know.
That's what Link does when he goes around places, just leaves the arrows in his spine. I really like this book, and I want to like it more, but he's getting old. This man, he's too old for this crap. He needs to retire and let the young Logan come back. it's been fine. It's, I don't know. Something about it rubs me the wrong way.
Dude, this art's going to be good, though. Juan Ferreira, like, he did some of Nightwing and Green Arrow. Like, that's a really good artist.
Did he do the first arc of it?
Nightwing? I think so.
Okay.
I don't know for sure.
We'll see. I mean, it's not that I don't like the book. I'm just, the Bullseye thing came back right away. I was like, come on, let either kill him off, either character, Bullseye or Old Man Logan, or move on to a little bit something more. I guess I just assumed there'd be a little longer wait before Bullseye showed back up.
Oh, you know, here in the fall when that Wolverine book comes out, they're going to do an event that's Wolverine versus Old Man Logan.
Oh, I'm sure.
Punisher number 228, Matthew Rosenberg, Guy Villanova, Road Trip to Hell. Garrett, you've been enjoying Punisher. Is this still going strong?
Oh, absolutely it is.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite books, top five for sure, probably number one. I think I said it was number one at the beginning of the year here. Just looking at that cover and, like, you know, that's what you kind of think about when Frank's been using this War Machine outfit and now Tony's back. You're like, eventually they're going to run into each other and he's going to be like, why the hell are you using this suit? So I think it'll be fun. I love that cover. I think the cover looks amazing. And I think this will be a good issue, especially the Black Widow will be involved. So it's going to be a ride.
There you go. I actually found. If you've been listening to the show up to this point, which if you listen to this show, this part randomly, I don't know why you skipped ahead. But I was tripping over my words because my mouth was so dry in this room. You guys know how hot it gets in this room. And I was like, why didn't I bring anything to drink for the forecast? To wet my whistle. Alex, that's an old phrase. You should know it.
I understood that. I just wet my whistle right now.
And I just realized I did bring something, and I've been missing it this whole time. So here we go. Now I'm on a roll here. Century number 2, Jeff Lemire, Aaron Kim Jacinto. Someone or something has invaded Century's world. And now Bob Reynolds finds himself in a race against the clock to try and stop the mystery invader before he can unravel everything. The Sentry has worked so hard to build, but if Bob fails, the Void will be set free and the Marvel Universe will be torn apart. Can the Sentry save the day, or has Bob failed once again to contain the monster within? Alex, what do you think? Sentry de Flamere, issue 1 came out a couple weeks ago, I believe, so we're now to issue 2. Is this Jeff Lemire? Is this peak Jeff Lemire, or is this okay Jeff Lemire?
I would say it's okay. It's enough for me to keep getting the book, but it's not a Royal City. It's not a Black Hammer. This is kind of like a Descender for me, where I enjoy the book, but I wouldn't go out of my way to read it first. I'm still interested, but it's a meh.
I'm the complete opposite. I think this book, like issue 1, I thought was just boring. And took a lot of work to read, so much so that I'm just like, I don't want to try that again. I don't think it was enjoyable for me.
We found Garrett's new 52 Superman, Century number 1.
And I was on the opposite end. I really enjoyed it for a character that I hate, and so I'm looking forward to this issue a lot. So we'll see. Venom number 4, Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman. Congratulations to Donny Cates, and we'll tell you why. This Sunday on the show, but Garrett, what do you think? Venom number 4, Donny Cates taking it over. A character he's taking from where it was before and taking it in a new direction. Is it working? How's it going?
It is incredible. One of the best Marvel books out there right now. Donny Cates is laying out such great mythology for this character that's been in the Marvel Universe for almost, 40, 50 years now, and he's done it in a way that makes it fresh and exciting and makes you crave more information on what's happening. You know, you kind of look at other writers and you're like, how come it took this long for you guys to try something new with this character? And I think Donny Cates is doing it and he's killing it, and Ryan Stegman's art helps every step of the way. It's amazing.
I like how I'm teasing the Sunday show for all its announcements. Like, I got some sort of exclusivity to this news. People can look it up. So I'll just say, Donny Cates, congratulations. Marvel announced they're bringing back Marvel Knights, and Donny Cates is in charge of the whole line. So that'd be good.
Oh, sweet.
He's proven that he, in every single series, right? Thanos, this, God Country. The man's been on a roll recently. So they were like, hey, let's give him a line to do or that a little bit more mature comics and see what he can do. So he'll be putting that together with, you know, people he picks out and books. They have, I'm not sure the full details, but that'll be on Sunday's show. I'll look it up and we'll tell you all about it. Wakanda Forever, X-Men number one. Nnedi Okorafor and Ray Anthony Height. This is actually, I want to bring this up because we were talking about the other one with Spider-Man. I didn't realize these Wakanda Forever books were going to go through the Marvel Universe like this. So if you enjoy that Spider-Man one, here's the next part of it. So go ahead and get that. Wakanda Forever, X-Men number one. X-23 number two. This is Mariko Tamaki and Juan Cabal. Didn't you guys pick this up?
I did.
Yeah? How was it?
I haven't had a chance to read issue one yet, but it looks good, and Juan Cabal has been doing the art the second half of that all-new Wolverine run, so I'm sure it'll still look great. It's just not sure how the story will be quite yet.
You know, I have one random gripe that just popped in my head. So before Logan died, Wolverine, he was in every book. He was in Avengers. He was in X-Men. He was a this. And now that he's coming back, he literally owns at least half of the books that are coming out nowadays, whether it's X-23 or Old Man Logan or people are looking for him. I love Wolverine. I'm already tired of him.
He's not even back yet, you're saying. They got a mini looking for him, and they got all his friends having their own books. Old Man Logan, a different version of him. And Old Man Logan, isn't he on some of these X-Men teams? Red? You know, like, yeah, I understand what you mean. That's the thing, though. It's something that both companies are guilty of is that they say, hey, you like Batman? You like Wolverine? You like Deadpool? We'll put him in every book. And you're like, no, I like him because he's in this one book and he's good in this one book. I don't like him and everything. I'm not going to get everything. Calm down a little bit. X-Men.
It was a random thing. I just had to throw it out there because it just popped in my head.
No, that's a good observation. I didn't even like, you're right though. They're already overexposing him and he's not even back yet. Like, when's that coming back? November?
September, I thought.
September?
Yes, September.
So two more months of him being overexposed, and then he's back. When he's already back, technically. Like, I mean, all these comics, you know what I mean? X-Men Grand Design, Second Genesis, number one of two. Ed Piskor and on art and writing it. It's all new and all different. Witness, Wolverine, Thunderbird, Colossus, Storm, and Sunfire suit up as X-Men for their very first time all over again. All through the lens of comics auteur Ed Piskor, who lovely researches, writes, pencils, inks, colors, letters, every page just for you. This is basically, if you are somebody who's like, the X-Men have such a grand history. How do I get into this? This is the second one here. The first one, it's also two issues. This is going to be two issues. They're oversized, $5.99. Basically, it's just a retelling of the history of X-Men. In a short two-issue form, so you can be like, oh, I know what's happening now. So go ahead and read this. This is probably X-Men Giant Size Annual number one, kind of around that time. So there you go. The first one, I heard it's good. It's on Marvel Unlimited if you want to go check it out there, too. Here we go. Boom Studios. Power Rangers this week?
Nope.
It's a first for a while, but I also look at this, though. Bone Parish, number one. This is Colin Bunn, Alex's favorite writer. Jonas, Scarf. Colin Bunn returns to the Boom Studios with a chilling necromantic horror story. A new drug is sweeping through the streets of New Orleans. One made from the ashes of the dead. Wars are being fought over who can control the supply while the demand only rises. While the crime families wage war, users begin to experience terrifying visions of the dead coming back to life through them. Now, Alex, I know you don't like him because of the Deadpool or exposure, which you have your right to, but that doesn't look like a bad book. So if you want to pick up anyone, there you go. Boom Studios. I like Boom coming out.
Did he ever finish Dark Ark?
No way.
No. Okay. But I like Boom Studios. They're getting into original books now. I mean, for a while, it was IDW and Boom just doing licensed stuff, and since with the Lumberjanes and like all this stuff, Boone's kind of been, you know, dipping their toes into creative own stuff. So it's good they're finally going full in. Anything in the Upside Down here that you wanted to talk about, Garrett, Alex?
Nope.
Well, those are the books for July 25th, 2018. That is the last Wednesday in July. Alex, what do you think we're looking forward to on this week?
I think I speak for you and I both, Marvin, that issue 54 of Saga is one of the most anticipated for us.
Yes, I was going to say that as mine, so I have to pick another one. But I am looking forward to that a lot. As you mentioned before, what a great cover and what an amazing arc. If you haven't read Saga, if you're listening to this show and you're like, they talk about it all the time and I haven't been reading it, how do I catch up? Library, Hoopla, your local comic book store, get the, I mean, they have big collections you can catch up very cheaply if you wanted to, or for free if you go to library. Your library's a good resource. I would recommend, and I believe Alex is with me here, this is a series you'll want to catch up on. He said he's not even halfway done, so if you catch up, you can, you know, start reading with the rest of us. And it is a book, I believe, that you should be reading as it comes out because people are talking about it. Yes. Garrett, what do you think on this week of the 25th? What are you looking for?
Doomsday Clock number 6. Love the death out of this series and can't wait to see what happens in this next chapter.
Doomsday Clock number 6 of 12. This is a book that is going to be halfway done. And is it coming out every other month now still? Or the now that Geoff Johns has kind of brought himself back to comics, are they going back to a monthly schedule or is it not known?
I still think the next one or two are going to be every other month because, you know, comics is 3 months behind schedule because there are 3 months pay period. So I still feel like since Geoff Johns' announcement just happened like a month ago that it won't be until like the last couple issues will come out monthly, I bet.
And I am looking forward to it being no surprise to anybody listening to this podcast. The end of Descender number 32, Jeff Lemire.
You son of a bitch.
What? I said I'm all caught up. Okay, fine. I'll pick a different one. Justice League Dark number 1. This is James Tynion in the 4th. I am looking forward to it. The characters in it are some of my favorite. They're usually, you know, BC level characters that are better as side characters. So for them to be on a team, does that equal gold? We'll see. Wonder Woman leading the team. That's what I'm looking forward to, a book with Wonder Woman that is great. And the concept of this in the bag, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the preview of what the bad guy looks like. I'm not even going to spoil that. He looks fantastic, or he/she. I'm not sure if it's guy or girl, but it looks fantastic. The art looks fantastic. This concept, everything about this speaks to me, and I'm really looking forward to it. So if you're looking to jump on anywhere on the DC world, this might be a place because it's not really that tied deep into continuity. It's going to be talking about like all this kind of side weird stuff, and usually that's pretty fun. By the way, also tie in, go back to last week's show. Wasn't a regular show, it was a back matter. We talked about the supernatural, so it's a nice tie in there. You can listen to that show and then get ready for JLD. Alex, the weather, it's been a little hot, a little bit, a little cool, a little hot. What's it look like tomorrow?
You know, tomorrow it's going to rain. I'm literally looking at my forecast right now. I'm showing thunderstorms on Wednesday. So you know what you do? You get those books, and when you put them in your bag, turn that bag upside down, protect them from the rain. That's not even the weatherman part of me telling you. That's the crazy person, Alex, telling you, protect those books. Put your raincoat on. But then when it comes to Thursday, Friday, you got nice weather to read your books. Read outside, under your umbrella, drink a beer, but not next to your books. You don't spill on it.
Garrett, those raindrops will fall on the road and make it slick like Rick. What do you think? How is the drive going to be tomorrow?
This is one of those better weeks. So, you know what? You just get to drive even faster than you normally do and hope that you don't fall off the road. Roads might be slick, but hey, it doesn't matter when there's good comics coming out.
That's the gold you get from Garrett. Garrett, there was a rumor I heard that you might be leaving the show, and God, I hope it was true, but it wasn't.
Wow. Well, now the rumor might be coming true.
I prayed and prayed and prayed, and turns out that maybe you're going to stick around, so that's fine.
Don't worry, people. I'm here forever.
We are Wednesday Comics. We are 1, 2, and 3 strong. They call us the Tremendous Three. They call us the... terrible three. And we're here to tell you the books, and those are the books coming out this week. So we hope you enjoy them. Hope you enjoy those pages. And my name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, stay comfortable and keep reading those books.